All right, let's turn to the book of Psalms. That's where we'll begin tonight. Obviously, we'll be looking at a number of different passages tonight
as we continue our study on God's Word, most important book this world has ever seen. And it's just still one of my pet peeves is when I read Christian writings, Baptist, independent Baptist writings, and they don't capitalize the S in the word Scripture or the B in the word Bible or biblical. And because this book is like no other, it is God's Word. The Quran is not God's Word. It was the figment of Muhammad's imagination. The Book of Mormon is not, are not Scripture. They're the figment of Joseph Smith's imagination. And we can go on and on with the different religions and the different cults. And every one of them is a figment and the work, a figment of the imagination and the work of men. But this book is entirely different. And that's what we've been looking at. The first thing we looked at was revelation. Who can define revelation for us other than Guy? Okay. The mind of God entering the mind of man. And after revelation, we looked at inspiration. Who can define inspiration? Yes, Diane?
Mind of age.
Very good. From the mind of man to the printed page. Today we're going to look at illumination. And as I mentioned last week, this is something that we all participate in. At least we should, even though we may not realize that we're participating in it. And so let's go ahead and read our verse in Psalm 119, verse number 18. And then we'll look at the definition of illumination. 119, verse number 18 tells us this. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This should be our attitude every time we open this book. And this should be our attitude every time we come to church or every time we listen to something scriptural on the radio, you know, preaching or teaching. This should always be what our attitude is, asking God to show us something from his word because this book is alive. What does it tell us in Hebrews chapter 4? The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And the word quick doesn't mean fast. It just means alive. It means alive. We still use it that way, the quick in your nail, the alive part, I guess. But that's what that word quick means. It's a living book. Every other book has been written and it's dead and they have book clubs where they sit and talk about books and what the author meant and this and that. And I don't see any point in that. Just enjoy a book. But maybe you do and fine. But it's just not for me. But this book is different. It's alive. And we know that. And so when we come to it, we should always be asking God to show us something from his word to help us to understand him better. To incorporate into our lives, to show us something we need to obey, show us something to encourage us. And we make a long list of about 10 to 12 things we should look for every time. Now, not every one of those 10 to 12 things will be in every passage of Scripture every day, but if you know what to look for, if you're looking for particular things, you'll find them. If you're not, it'll be no more than reading the newspaper. And so we're talking about illumination. Illumination, now here's the definition. Okay, we've had the mind of God transferred to the mind of man in Revelation, then from the mind of man to the printed page in inspiration, and now we have the Word of God transferred from the printed page to the human heart. From the printed page to the human heart. This is where the Word of God comes alive, and it's all the work of the Holy Spirit of God. As he takes this living word, this living book, and applies it to our situation, applies it to our needs, he gives us guidance. And this is a whole nother study on what the Holy Spirit does for us. But he helps us understand who God is through the word, helps us understand salvation, helps us understand our future and our eternal home. The Holy Spirit takes these pages and the words on these pages, and illuminates our minds. He reveals the Word of God to us. Without the Holy Spirit's assistance in the ministry of illumination, this book just becomes dry and dead. And so you have a professor and a Bible College in the city of Grand Rapids, Christian Reformed Bible College, that, and I've told you this before, that was talking about the allegorical approach to Scripture, and he was just in love with the idea that you can just make this book say whatever you want. And that's not the exact wording he used, but that's exactly what he said. He said you can make it rich and full because you've got to make things up because you don't have the Holy Spirit helping you. And so when you have the Holy Spirit helping you, you can take it literally and it'll bring a whole lot more meaning and have a whole lot more depth and be of a lot more help than any allegorical approach to Scripture. And so that's what illumination is. It's the work of the Holy Spirit, taking the Word of God from the printed page to the human heart. Now, there's some challenges that the Holy Spirit faces as he seeks to do his ministry. Now, obviously, the Holy Spirit is omnipotent because he is God. He is not anything less. He has all the omnipotence that God the Father and God the Son have. He took part in the creation of this earth. We could, again, study that, but that's a whole other study on the Holy Spirit of God. And so don't mistake what I'm saying here. The Holy Spirit is all powerful. But there's three kinds of blindness that hinder his work. He's doing his best to get it across, but man doesn't always cooperate. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we have our first blindness, and that's natural blindness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, we read this, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." And so he's talking about reading God's word and being able to understand what God has for us. This is the entire reason this verse sums up entirely. And again, that blank is the word natural. Natural blindness that man has to the things of God, because we try to view things through our natural flesh or our natural minds. We try to view them through our five senses. And they're spiritually discerned. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. But this one verse answers why there are modern translations today, why there are so many of them. Because a person grabs the Word of God, a lost person, they're religious, they're sincere, they want to get to know God, they want to know His will for their life, they want to know what He expects of them. All these things that we have as well, but they're not saved. And so they open up their Bibles and they begin to read and they say, you know, I just can't make any sense of this. These words are too hard for me. And so they look for something that's put in different words, hoping to find something from it. It's not the words on the page. We could put the King James Bible is actually in a middle of the ninth grade reading level. It's not the college level like Zondervan would like to convince you. And I've told you this before, there's a program, a computer program, you enter all the words of a book, and it evaluates the words in that book, and they use it for all kinds of books. It's not specific to Bibles. And there's a man by the name of D.A. Waite who ran the King James Version of the Bible and other versions through and found out that this computer program that was written just to evaluate whatever book was on the market, and it put the King James Bible in the ninth grade reading level. And so it's not as hard as they say it is. But their problem is they're lacking the Holy Spirit's help, the Holy Spirit's guidance, or illumination from the Holy Spirit of God. And so they read it and they scratch their heads. They say, this just doesn't make sense to me. Therefore, I need something else. Well, that's not the problem. The something else they need isn't different words. What they need is the Holy Spirit's help. And when we come to the Bible using Psalm 119, verse 18 as our guidance and offer that prayer as we come to the Word of God, God will help us and we can understand it. And we may have to get a dictionary to look up some of the words And if we're not willing to do that, how can we then study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed? Don't you hate that four-letter word, study? I know it's five letters if you spell it out, right? S-T-U-D, yeah, five letters. But we hate that word. Nobody wants to study. We want it given to us on a platter, all pureed up. Now, I recently started getting a root canal, and my tooth was bothering me. And, Pastor Steve and I had a football game watching date, and my tooth was really bothering me. And at the end of last week, or the middle of last week, I kind of teased him, you know, you'll have to puree my food up for me so I can eat it. And isn't that disgusting? Pureed food. And we were talking, I don't even remember, was it talking pizza? Yuck. I mean, you eat it all together anyway, but pureed? That's just not right. Whoever thought of that, they were sick in the mind, weren't they? But anyway, that's how we want our Bible. Already chewed, already ready to digest. Just feed it to me on a spoon. And don't you love it when your kids finally decide to use spoons and forks and feed themselves so you don't have to sit there and try to feed yourself and feed them at the same time? Now, at first it's kind of a hassle because it gets everywhere, but eventually they figure it out and hit the mouth fairly consistently and the floor as they drop stuff, but it happens and they get better and better. But aren't you glad when that happens? But you know, as Christians, we still want to be spoon-fed even when we're decades old. And so if we realize that there's this natural blindness in every person, saved and lost, and we realize that we need the Holy Spirit's assistance, and we pray that prayer of Psalm 119, verse 18, as we come to God's Word, we'll begin to understand what God is trying to tell us in His Word, and we won't have to be spoon-fed anymore. Pureed food. All right, well, let's move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at the second blindness. We do have an adversary, and that's what it's talking about here in verses 3 and 4. We have satanic blindness. Satanic blindness. And now, obviously, he's just demented, but it's satanically caused blindness. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But there in verse 4, it talks about the God of this world, and we know who that is. That's the devil himself. And he has the ability to blind minds. And the last thing he wants, especially, is for a lost person to understand the Word of God. And the context here is that of salvation. He doesn't want them to understand that salvation is all of grace. And I talked to someone yesterday and asked them the question. I encourage you, don't ever ask someone if they're going to heaven. Or don't ask them if they're saved. The way you ask them, tell them if you, when you die and you stand before God, and if He would ask you why He should let you into His heaven, what would you tell them? Because that will tell you where they're at. And 98% of the time, that person that you're talking to and you ask that question to, they're going to say something to the effect, because I'm a good person. That's what they're going to say. And that's exactly what this individual yesterday said, because I'm a good person. Well, great. I'm glad you're a good person, but you're also a sinner. And they need to understand that. And the devil doesn't want them to understand that. And so he keeps them away from this word. And if they do happen to open it, he makes sure they get bad influence. And he blinds the minds, if at all possible. And so there's that challenge. But you know, he wants Christians to be confused too. There's a lot of false teaching out there. And with the social media and the internet, man, it's everywhere. I mean, it started with television and, well, I guess radio and then television, where they can get on the radio. They can get on TV pretty easily. And a lot of crazy things going on out there. And we tune in and listen. And I'll say it again, I've said it many, many times. If you listen to radio and internet and TV preachers, they'll ruin you. They will. I'll guarantee it. We've had people that have come through these doors that have been ruined by that. We had a young man, now this has been about a year ago, who came and wanted to, he was very sincere about his walk with Christ, and he wanted to be baptized and join the church. And he was listening to, I believe it was internet preachers, and but he was listening to the wrong ones, and he did not believe in eternal security because that's what they were teaching. Now, the Bible, you can find it on pretty much every page of the Bible, that we're saved by the power of God, that it's nothing that we can do to keep it. And so he got all mixed up and decided to go somewhere where they're teaching that he could lose his salvation if he crossed a certain line. They'll never tell you what that line is. They might give a few suggestions, but it's false doctrine. It's out there. And the devil makes sure that many are blinded by false doctrine. And so there's a satanic blindness, a challenge that the Holy Spirit has as he seeks to illuminate every human being, because he is God, and he's also not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and that all would grow into the image of Christ. And so he wants to teach us, and he wants to show us, and he wants to open up God's word and make it a living book in our lives. But the devil doesn't want that, obviously. And so he will do what he can to block it. How many of you read your Bibles? And I put it in air quotes because I read my Bible this afternoon. And that's when you're reading it with your chin down and your eyes closed. You know what I'm talking about. You can stay awake reading anything. I was having trouble staying awake, and so I put it aside for a little while and was reading missionary letters. You know what? I didn't have any trouble staying awake reading missionary letters. What was different? I was doing the same thing. Didn't have any trouble because there weren't any satanic hindrances. He doesn't care if I read missionary letters. He just doesn't want me reading my Bible. And you go through it too. And so it's a real challenge. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, but the devil wants to block that. And then one last one in Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. These are challenges. The Holy Spirit wants to speak through the Word of God, but there's some things that he has to battle with, some competition. All right, verse number 12, let's start there. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I've known a lot of Christians whose salvation I don't question, but they've been saved for decades and are still babes in Christ. Why is that? Well, I think what he's talking about here is carnal blindness. Carnal blindness. They have got so much sin in their lives and living, and I'm not talking about murder and all these things, deep sin, but unconfessed sin in their lives that is blocking the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. Isaiah 59 talks about that, about how sin blocks the communication between God and man. Well, the Holy Spirit is God. How can he do his job if our lives are full of sin? And so we've got to be regular in confession and walk with God and get rid of the carnality. It doesn't mean we don't sin, and it doesn't mean we're not interested in the world. We ought to be interested in the world. That's how we relate to the world. But our focus should always be on heaven. Should always be on heaven. And so we've got to learn to be spiritually minded so that we're not carnally blinded as we come to the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit has that open communication with us. All right, two results of illumination. All right, let's do the second one first since we're almost there in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 2. And guess what? That's supposed to be 1 Peter. I'm sorry. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. And so Christians grow. It's a result of illumination. Now, when he uses the word babes in this verse, it's not being used the same as it was in Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, they're being rebuked because when they should have had a thorough knowledge of God's word, they still didn't grasp the first things of Christianity, which would simply be salvation and baptism and church membership. They didn't understand those things. They had to be retaught the same things, even after decades or after years anyway of being saved. Here it's just the idea of the baby being used in an illustration. As it feeds, it grows. And praise the Lord for that. Wouldn't it be terrible if Stephen was still about this long? I think he was 19 and a half inches when he was born. Wouldn't it be terrible if he was still that size? And my wife would have to take and change his diaper. And, you know, here he is, as old as he is. You know, that would be a terrible thing. I'm glad that he ate. I'm glad that he grew. If he didn't eat, he wouldn't. And it's the same thing in a Christian life. Growth is the natural outcome of feeding. And that's what God's trying to say here by, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. It's the natural result of illumination. Now back in Psalm 119, verse 130, we see number one, or in the order I've taken it tonight, the second result of illumination. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And so we see that sinners are saved as the word permeates the hard heart and the fallen mind, and they begin to see the truth of their sinfulness and the grace of God offered through Christ on Calvary. Their eyes are enlightened and they trust Christ. We've all gone through this at some point if we're saved tonight. And so it's just a natural result of illumination. If the natural blindness and the satanic blindness can be driven through, this is a natural result. Because when people understand, I'm going to spend eternity somewhere, it's going to be awfully hot, or it's going to be awfully amazing, they're going to choose amazing every time. It's just common sense. And so we've all seen the Hindus laying on the bed of nails, right? Now, if you went into, you had to buy a new mattress and you went to the store to get a new mattress, and on the left was a bed of nails, and on the right was a nice, I don't know what's a good mattress. There's all kinds of them out there. But a really nice mattress, and price wasn't a factor. Would you choose that bed of nails? I mean, nobody in their right mind is going to do that. And so if illumination does its job, every sinner is going to choose the nice mattress. They're going to choose heaven. It's just common sense. And so that's a natural result. All right, let's get over through this last part quickly so we can move on. Next week we'll begin laying a foundation for preservation. And that's foundational for believing that the King James Version is the Word of God for English-speaking people today. We'll lay that foundation for preservation in 2 weeks. We'll show that the Bible teaches, and it'll probably take us a couple weeks to get through it, but the Bible teaches very clearly preservation. Yeah, but we'll get to that as a future lesson. So prerequisites to illumination. It's important to understand illumination is not automatic. And hopefully you kind of got that as we went through capital letter B about the different types of blindness, that the Holy Spirit has to work through. That's actually not Him having to work through. We have to work through it. Recognize these and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them. All right, so we have to understand it's not automatic. But one thing the Holy Spirit expects in Hebrews 11:6, anyone know what that verse says? Yeah, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him, that diligently seek Him. And so the Holy Spirit seeks. Now, you can put the word sincerity in there or the word faith. Both of them fit. Because if we don't believe this is the very Word of God, we're not going to approach it like we would expect it to be the Word of God. And so We've got to realize this book has authority. If it is the Word of God, it has authority. If it is the Word of God, it contains the answer to every question man has ever asked. If it is the Word of God, it does accurately reveal who God is. If it is the Word of God, it does accurately reveal who we are and what God expects from us. And so we have to have faith that this is the very Word of God. And then we've got to come in sincerity. A few people have studied this book to prove it to be a book of fables, and the Holy Spirit has broken through that and proven to them that it is the very Word of God, and they've gotten saved, but those testimonies are fairly rare. There's a lot of skeptics out there, and they'll use the Bible against itself, at least in their own minds, because they don't have a sincerity as they come to the Word of God. So they'll take something like Jonah and say, oh, that could never happen. They're in the fish alive that's big enough to swallow a man whole. Well, they're ignoring history and the facts because it has happened more than just to Jonah. And so, anyway, they're skeptics. They're not sincere as they approach the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit is not going to bless with illumination someone who comes in that fashion. And then, number three, the Holy Spirit often, but not always, uses people. So in Acts chapter 8, you have Philip as he is running alongside, and I think it's one of the funniest stories in all the Bible. I can just imagine the whole caravan of chariots and camels as the Ethiopian is heading back, and here's poor little old Philip trying to keep up with the horses and the camels, and he had to be in some pretty good shape to be able to do that. Who knows how long he ran alongside before the Ethiopian invited him up into the chariot. But he said, you know, how can I understand unless someone teach me? And Philip then, in that verse 35, the last one listed there, preached to him Christ. And we know the result. The man got saved. And so the Holy Spirit oftentimes uses people. Paul, in Acts chapter 17, is used to teach. Aquila and Priscilla in Acts chapter 18, they ran into Apollos, and Apollos only knew the baptism of John, and so they took him aside and began to teach him the rest of the Word of God. And then the last one there in Acts chapter 18 is Apollos himself then went back into the church and began to teach them God's Word. And so oftentimes God uses people. Now, one thing to keep in mind is the priesthood of the believer. And that just means you don't have to have someone to teach you because you have the Holy Spirit. He is ultimately the teacher. Sometimes he speaks through people, and I've learned a lot from other people. My pastor, Ken Lindsay, I learned a ton from him. Dr. Emery, you all know Dr. Larry Emery. I learned a ton through him. I learned a ton through a fellow by the name of Dr. Larry Wilson. And I can go on with the list. Ralph Henson was just a deacon, worked on the railroad in my home church. God used these people in my life to help me with the Bible knowledge that I have. But ultimately, it was the Holy Spirit using them and helping me to understand. And he wants to do the same for you as well. And I'm sure he has in many of your lives. It's called illumination. And so praise God that he does that, that he's interested, and that he wants you to know this book inside and out. And if we'll study it, come in faith and sincerity, that process will take place. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this marvelous book you've given to us and the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives to help us to make heads and tails out of it and to apply it to our lives and to receive those things that we need, not just in our spiritual life, but the guidance along the path of life. So, Father, now as we consider it, help us to appreciate what you do for us. Now as we go our separate ways, we ask your blessing upon us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.